Hebrews chapter 3. You may be wondering why we're going to look at this passage once more. We looked at it two Sundays back. And all I can say to you is this is what the Lord has for us today. The concept of encouragement and what that looks like kept coming up in my reading and in my heart and in my mind, and really believe that God would have me to take up this truth once again, specifically Hebrews 3:13 of encouraging one another day after day. So the first sermon we laid out for you is as best as I could, the exegetical content, and provided some of the reasonings behind unbelief and its remedy, if you remember. And so today, I would like to speak to just the point of encouraging one another and beginning to develop the habit of encouraging one another. And I'd like to begin with just a moment of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of preaching and encouragement. We know that your word, as it goes out, your children hear your voice, and they are encouraged by you, by your Holy Spirit. We pray for that to happen today, Father. I'll do my best to be clear and to do diligence here with this text, but Lord, you must work to build the church and to encourage, so we trust you to do that. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes to see what is here, that you'd give us ears to hear, and we pray that you would keep me clear as possible. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've lived long enough, you've discovered most likely that there are two sorts of people that you interact with on a daily basis, most likely. There are those who we would call energy givers, and those that we would call, sadly, energy takers. I think you know exactly what I mean. There are people who, when you see them coming, you're excited because this is a person who is maybe joyful. This is a person who is going to have something truthful and God-honoring to say in your life. But then there's the other style too. Sadly, we have to talk about this a little bit too. Those who are the energy takers. Those who are often negative and pessimistic, who really don't speak much truth into your life, who always have problems and are loaded up with problems and just want to offload them onto whoever will take them. I'm not saying that there isn't a time where we need to be honest and real about the struggles in life. But my goal in this message is to encourage every one of you to be an encouraging person, to get your encouragement from the Lord, and then to take that encouragement and encourage one another with that encouragement. So we have been studying Hebrews, and we have this amazing and incredible truth of who Jesus is. And we know that Hebrews is given to this group of believers who are being tempted by Satan and false teachers to walk away from Jesus, to say, forget about the church and Jesus and all this gospel stuff. Let's go back to the old ways of our old religion, of old Judaism, and go away from this. Now, I imagine there's a number of reasons for that. No doubt family pressure is one of them. Persecution is probably ranking very high on the list. We know in the first century to become a Christian, you truly are just putting a target on your chest. In so doing, people are going to be coming after you because of your faith, because of what you believe, charging you as they did the believers in Thessalonica, that these men are preaching another king, not the Caesar, but King Jesus, and that he's over the Caesar. So there's probably 100 reasons we could come up with where Satan would try to tempt one to apostatize away from the faith. One of the pathways, if you will, that God has given to the church to keep the church faithful to Jesus is the pathway of the power of encouragement. Make sense? To where, as individual members of this one body that gathers regularly, you're able, through your friendships, through your natural connections, to be able to speak truth into each other's lives. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If coming to church, and I'm not saying it's not this way, but if coming to church was seeing friends and having an opportunity like the one that the lady just described a little bit ago about the ladies' retreat. I've been praying for you this week, brother. I know you've had some hard news about, you know, the loss of this person in your family. We're praying for you, and I want you to remember that that person is with Jesus. You know, that's just an example of ways in which we can encourage each other. But first, I think, in order to develop this habit of encouraging one another, you need to be convinced of a few things. And I can't convince you of this. Only God can convince you. But before you would ever begin the process of being one that encourages others, you must be motivated by the Word of God. You must firstly know why it is necessary to encourage one another. Now, I laid one out for you already, one reason why it's necessary. This is the way that God has provided. We need each other. We're a family. Brothers need brothers, sisters need sisters. This is why we see the Apostle Paul, who sends Timothy and Epaphroditus all the way back to Philippi, going some 500 miles from where they were before. This is before any airplanes, automobiles, and so they're either on foot or maybe on a boat for part of the trip. He sends them there to be an encouragement to those saints in Philippi. They're going to go, they're going to do some preaching, they're going to do some praying, they're going to have some fellowship, they're going to answer any questions that anybody has. They're going to just love this church for who they are in the Lord and be true ministers of Christ to them. Well, Paul understood something that Jesus taught and God has always taught since the fall, is the main reason it's necessary to encourage one another is because the human heart is sinful. It's corrupt. So the heart doesn't just encourage itself. Often our hearts are not drawn toward encouragement or drawn toward God and the things of God. They're drawn to self and what we want and selfishness. They're drawn to comfortable and sinful appetites. They're drawn to, now lately this has been a big one for all of us, they're drawn to fear. But what's going to happen next? In this science fiction drama that is the United States and the world with COVID in 2020 and now 2021, what's going to be the next chapter? And we're all sort of just waiting on the edge of our seats and praying and hoping that things may begin to get better. But I want you to remember that Jeremiah, a long, long time ago, preached that the heart, and he's speaking of the human heart, it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? We know that the heart isn't automatically or naturally given to God and given to encouraging God's people and others. And friends, if I can confess a little bit, as the pastor is to be the chief repenter of the church, sometimes cynicism enters into my heart. Sometimes discouragement sets into my heart. And it's hard to then be an encourager when those sorts of things set in. But it's really easy to have fear, doubt, negativity setting into our hearts as a child of Christ in this corrupt and wicked world in which we live. Now, one reason we need to go this way is because of what the text says, and you'll have to pardon me. We need to read the text, so we're guided by God himself. So join me in Hebrews 3:12. We'll read through verse 19. In your mind, remember, what is he doing? He's telling these folks, don't be tempted to go away from Jesus. Say no to that temptation. Don't follow that temptation. But be encouraged to keep on for Jesus. Take care, brethren, that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So that's where we get the idea on the heart. He tells us right here what Jeremiah spoke of in chapter 17 of his prophecy. Take care, brethren, that there might be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. It's not drawing towards God, it's falling away from God. But, he says, now this is the remedy. That's the unbelief, and this is the remedy. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He points something out for us that we didn't really cover last time, or I didn't cover. The absolute necessity to be a person who encourages other believers. And we'll start small, okay? Let's start just in the family. Brothers, encourage your wives. Wives, encourage your husbands. Encourage your children. Encourage those who live under your roof. We'll go a little bit wider to a different sphere. The church. Those fellow members of PCC, encourage them. And you don't have to encourage them all on one Lord's Day, but you could encourage one per Lord's Day. So what am I saying here? This isn't hard. This, in fact, many of you, this is the fabric of your life already. And so I'm here to encourage you. If you're doing this, keep doing this. Now you'll notice that the text also shows this isn't just something you do one time. Now, there's things in church that we just do one time, right? You're only baptized one time in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We talked about that this morning in the Sunday school a little bit. Of course, that follows your faith, your conversion in Christ. But this voice of encouragement, notice he says, encourage one another day after day. What is that? It's almost like he's saying every day. Maybe I'm sinning by telling you to just do it on the Lord's Day. Maybe I'm setting the bar too low. The Word of God's saying day after day, after day, after day. That's every day. While it is still called today, he says. And there he's conveying just the urgency. Don't let the sun go down on your word of encouragement that you need to share with a brother or a sister. So first you need to be convinced. I need to be convinced that it is absolutely necessary to encourage one another. Now Hebrews 3:13 says it crystal clear. And your understanding of the human heart, let that be the backdrop or the foundation. We're going to fall away from the living God if we don't receive encouragement. We're going to go our own way. We're going to go the way of the world if we don't receive encouragement. The human heart, my friends, is often cold and hard towards the Lord. No person is born a Christian. No person was born with a heart tenderness towards God. No, the Bible tells us that we were born sinners. that we have inherited this nature from our parents and going all the way back to Adam and Eve, the fall. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, not even one. The Bible tells us that there are none who seek for God. They all have turned aside from God. However, the Bible gives us this incredible remedy for this sin nature that we all have, and it is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that we are justified. We have been made clean, if you will, through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross by faith in him. Now, let's start again small. I want you to think of when you were saved. Someone encouraged you with the truth of the gospel. If no one ever told you about your sinfulness and your need for a Savior, and then told you the remedy for that sinfulness in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection, if no one ever told you, you would not know. That's encouragement. Encouragement is telling the truth. So if you had no encouragement, and if you don't encourage anyone, how in the world could we expect for anyone to be coming to Christ and to be getting saved? Well, you can't. Telling the truth is the way that God saves people in this world, through the Word of God being shared within the family or in the church or maybe out on the street corner or in the park or talking to people about Jesus, encouraging them to consider him. So friends, this concept of encouraging one another is extremely foundational. I want you to know, you may be saved. You may be elect before the foundation of the world. You've got everything in the world's given to you by God. Slate is wiped clean. You're walking in holiness. But you may not be walking as holy or as faithfully as you think that you are if you're not encouraging others. See, there is sins of commission, right? Drunkenness, adultery, we could go through those vice lists. But then there's sins of omission as well. It does not please God when we don't pray. It does not please God when we don't read his word. It does not please God when we fail to attend church, etc., and so forth. It does not please God when we don't encourage others. So this not only is glorifying to God, but folks, you've got to see that encouragement is the way of Christ for your lives. And there's so many other things that we can manage to get ourselves caught up with. And good things. Maybe fixing fats, mowing the yard, painting the house. Those are all good and in their place, but need to be done with a mind and a heart towards encouraging one another. You know, some of the things that I've been trying to do to be more of an encouragement, because we've all got chores to do, well, invite somebody else along with you to do the chore with you. And during that time, encourage them. A few years ago, we had, do you guys remember David and Elliot? Areola, and I promise I'm not trying to make myself out to be the hero here. I'm not Jesus for sure. We had a bunch of snow, and Elliot just happened to come by. Elliot was what, maybe 15, 16, and a stout little guy. I says, "Hey, bud, I've got a couple of snow shovels here. You want to help me shovel some snow?" Oh boy, he got a big smile on his face. These folks were living in their car, you know. But God gave us a period of about 6 months where we were able to just really speak the truth of the gospel into their lives. "Oh, sure, Chris. Yeah, I'll help you out." man, that kid worked so hard. He did 3/4 of the snow shoveling, you know, but we got the whole area out front here, all the sidewalks cleared off. And I would talk to him about the Lord the whole time. And when we finished up, I looked him in the eye and says, what do you think about this? You know that Jesus is real and that Jesus has died for sinners like me and you to rescue us from hell, give us a new life in him. And I don't think he really knew what to think of it at the time. But I was trying to encourage this kid, trying to help him understand the truth of God's word. Now, until God gives him ears to hear and eyes to see the truth, if you will. But that doesn't diminish the fact that we must be about encouraging. Even if you can't really see it working right away, we must be about encouraging. This is the way of God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information, for I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts, writes the apostle to the church in Colossae. He writes to the Thessalonians, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Now, friends, I've laid out before you several clear and very biblical reasons for you to be convinced that it is your job as a fellow believer to encourage one another. We can pray that God will give us eyes to see this. Truth is, every soul needs encouragement. Even those souls that may not be saved, they need encouragement today. They need to be reminded that you love them, that God loves them, that God is in control, that you're praying for them, that you care. They need to be reminded of the truth of God's word as well. Every soul struggles with a hardness towards God. Every person today is fighting their flesh. And encouragement is one way that God has determined for us to then to be able to survive. And that's much of the thrust of Hebrews and verse 13. Encourage day after day. You never stop encouraging others. Why? He says it right there. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So, you tell me, are you convinced that it is necessary to encourage other people? Okay, good. Start small. Guys, I want you to start encouraging your wives and your kids. Let your home be a place of encouragement, not criticism. Find ways to say what you may need to say, like, honey, you left the garage door open again all night, in a tactful and encouraging and loving way. But really seek to speak the truth of the Word of God into each other's lives. Remind each other that Jesus is with you and that Jesus loves you and that Jesus is going to take care of all of these problems and he promises to provide all of our needs. So I think that you're mostly convinced that you need to be doing this. I hope and pray you are. The next thing to develop this habit of encouraging is you must first be encouraged by hearing God with a tender heart. You cannot offer up that which you do not have, right? You know, I've told people before, I remember talking to a family member of ours that was just dirt broke and he needed a little extra money. And, you know, of course, we gave him, I think, a $100 gift card to Fred Meyer or something. We kind of just scraped together. It was a sacrificial gift. And I remember telling him, you know what? I'd give you $1 million if I had it. but I don't have $1 million. And so I think one reason that we often maybe fail to encourage is we ourselves haven't allowed God and His Word into our hearts for whatever reason. One of my dear brothers, Jim Neuheiser, talks, you must have a thick Bible. That is to say, and he's exactly right, as much as you know your Bible, you'll then be able to encourage others with what you know. Now, remember, it doesn't mean you have to know it all. It doesn't mean you have to have every verse in the Bible memorized, but you need to know a little in order to encourage someone else to speak that truth into their life. And you might be wondering, well, the Bible is kind of hard. Well, don't think of it like that. Again, start small. Start perhaps by reading just one chapter a day. And even take with it, use my favorite devotional, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. And he does an excellent job of explaining the Word of God to us in a way that warms our hearts, in a way that you can just take something that he put, that he helped you understand in that daily devotional, and then share it with someone else. We have table talks in the back that are there for you. There's some daily breads back there as well. Take these truths, think about it, apply it to your life, and then share it with someone else. I think we need to remember that truth isn't just for individuals. You know, you may have come across something in the Word of God that just blew your mind. Share it with others. Husbands, share it with your wives and your children and your friends. So we don't just learn in order to learn, right? We're not necessarily striving towards getting some sort of a bachelor's degree in Bible so we can hang that on our wall and pretend like we know something. No. You learn, you receive in order to give, but you must first be encouraged. I suggest daily reading. I love morning and evening. I gave out another devotional a few years ago written by Paul David Tripp called New Morning Mercies, another easy-to-read daily devotional that helps you. Coming to church, hearing the sermons, hearing the Sunday school lesson, these things really are imperative for every believer. Now, I don't just preach to hear my voice bounce off these walls. I don't just preach so that you can have notes for yourself. I assume that everyone is taking what we have put forth here from the pulpit and sharing it with others. There is no new truth. There's no copyright on the Word of God. There's no copyright on any of this. But if you feel you need to take some notes in order to share, do so. We need to make all of this material available to everyone for the purpose of encouragement. So if you first don't know a little bit of truth and have some encouragement in your heart, you'll have no idea what to say or how to encourage a person. We notice, if we back up a little bit from our passage, and he counsels them to give a speedy and present attention to the call of Christ. What does he say? Today, if you hear his voice, that's verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, we see it again in verse 15. Do not harden your hearts. So friends, we must be hearing his voice. And getting this truth into our hearts in order for us to be sharing it with others, to hear his voice, to approve of his voice and consider what God in Christ is speaking to you, and to apply it to yourself in a way that is suitable, we need to be doing this at this very moment, because it may be too late tomorrow. Notice the caution too. You could say he's cautioning them towards discouragement. He's cautioning them against hardening their hearts and turning a deaf ear to the calls and counsels of Christ. Now, when we pick up the Word of God and we share it with others, the voice of God is going out. And Jesus himself was saying this in his parables. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus says, my sheep, I know them. They hear my voice and they follow me. So there is something here of when we hear the Word of God, we're hearing the voice of God. So we must be hearing the voice of God. Now, this is what it's going to be. He's going to grip your heart in such a way that it will be undeniable. As you read the Word, as you hear the sermon, any exposure to the Word of God, okay? He's going to tell you of the evil of sin. He's going to tell you of the excellencies of His holiness. And that you too can enter into that holy life as well. He's going to grip your heart and convince you of the necessity of receiving Him as your Savior by faith. That's why I talk about remember when you came to Christ, remember when you were saved. And you maybe can't remember the exact day or time like me, but you know that there was a point in your life where you had accepted Christ, where you had responded to the gospel, or you began responding to the gospel of Christ. Friends, when you hear His voice, you cannot harden your hearts. The testimony I know best is my own. I was just a kid reading a little NIV Bible. The NIV had just come out. My parents gave me, and this is in the early 80s. I'm sitting on my bed, my bedroom. This is when different colors were more popular than others are now. But I had this burnt orange bedspread, brown shag carpet. Okay. Reading the Sermon on the Mount. And reading that if you're angry with your brother, God will send you to hell. That just that little internal offense and violation to God of having bitterness and anger in your heart is enough for you to be sent to hell. And I kept reading, and I became very frightened. I was about seven, eight, somewhere in there. Maybe a little older. I knew I was going to hell. Scared out of my gourd. Now, I had heard the gospel before. I think I was about 4 or 5. But I remember one of the women at the church doing VBS and explaining the gospel. And I didn't hear the voice of God. It sounded so foreign to me. All I could think about was, I hope I can get a ham sandwich for lunch. Right? It was about 11:45 and my tummy was hurting. I was probably about Elias's size. And I can remember hearing of the gospel there at Yankton Baptist Church. And it just didn't make sense to me. It's like trying to read a Russian novel, but in Russian. Just, there was nothing there. But I saw my mom's devotion to the Word of God. And my mom, to this day, speaks often of God and Christ. I saw my dad's devotion to Christ. They read the Bible in the home. We went to church every Lord's Day. This is important. And so by reading the Word of God, I began to hear the voice of God. And I'm telling you, folks, it's a voice of judgment. And it scares you. And that's good. It's good to have the fear of the Lord in your heart. So, I went to my mom. And I says, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. She says, you don't have to go to hell, son. Christ has died on the cross to make payment for you and your sins. And you can receive Him by faith and receive the promise of everlasting life. This is the greatest day of my life. I heard the voice of God. And you too need to hear the voice of God. And I pray that you will if you haven't. I don't know what to do other than pray for you and to help you as best as I can to get into the Word of God. If you're not hearing the voice of God, ask. The song that we sing, "Speak, O Lord." When I sit down in the morning to read my Bible, Lord, help me to understand this and to know what you want me to do, you know, in a sense, to hear your voice. Tenderize my heart so I might read the word and follow it and obey you by faith. Dear friend, this Christian life really is soldiering up, spiritually soldiering up. So we must first hear the voice of God, be encouraged through the word of God. Otherwise, our hearts are going to continue to be hard. Matthew Henry, "The hardening of our hearts is the spring of all other sins." Well, that's exactly what Hebrews 3:13 says, isn't it? The hardening of the heart is, you know, it's hard toward God, but it's soft toward sin, you might say. It allows the sins to spring up. I don't know about you, but you go to an old abandoned place, kind of like the old bowling alley over here. Last time I drove by there, you glance out at the parking lot that has just kind of been left. And what's growing? I tell you, it's not corn that's knee-high by the 4th of July. It's a bunch of weeds. The same's true back here. We ask the guys to please maybe spray a little bit back behind the church building. Because if you just let it go, what's going to grow up? Yeah, you know, that soil's hard and nasty, and it's gravel. Nothing but weeds. But the same is true of our hearts, friends. The example that is laid for us in Hebrews is the fathers of the Israelites in the wilderness. They provoked the Lord. They tempted the Lord. Who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And of course, he's quoting, just touching him just a little bit on Psalm 95, where David is speaking in the same occasion of the wilderness generation who hardened their hearts before the Lord. You might say, well, how did they do that? They saw him work, they heard his voice in incredible and amazing ways, but they refused to believe and they refused to follow. They refused to take up holiness. And thus they harden their heart. Sin is incredibly deceptive, and sin will make you stupid. Immorality, sexual sins, will make you even more stupider, no matter what they are. And it will harden you, it will take you places you never want to go. Please repent. And come back to Jesus. Ask him to tenderize your heart. Draw near to God. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today. The last piece I'd like to leave with you, I think you may be convinced that it's necessary. I hope so. And convinced that we need to have a thick Bible or be encouraged by the Word of God, by hearing God with a tender heart to then offer up out of our wells to others. But now I want to just say, you've got to try this. You must try to encourage others. You might say, well, I'm already trying. Good, keep trying, keep doing it. People who are encouragers are used mightily of God for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ and his glory in the world. One of my favorites is a man named Barnabas. Barnabas's very name means son of encouragement. And God puts him there together with Paul. Now, Paul, you know, imagine Paul's going one way, persecuting the churches, and he is on his way to go and shut down more churches and to correct these Christians who are following Jesus. He has papers of his commission to do this, so it's legal for him to assault, to beat up, and to even murder Christians. Until the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him in Acts chapter 9. Can you imagine? The Lord himself appears to him. Paul, Paul, he says, why are you persecuting me? Because everything he's doing against the church, he's doing it against Christ, which is an interesting concept. I want you to let that one simmer a little bit. Every time you get angry with someone and verbally or hurt someone in the church, maybe it's a family member, you're going against Christ. Remember that. You're not just hurting this individual, you're hurting Christ because they're in Christ. You're hurting yourself too. But here we have Barnabas coming alongside of Paul not long after Paul is saved by Christ and sent out to preach the gospel. Now, the meeting of the synagogue had broken up. This is Acts 13:43. You don't have to go there. Many of the Jews and the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Well, we would expect that these sorts of texts would have Barnabas urging them to continue in the grace of God. You know what that is? That's encouragement, okay? I know last time we looked at this, I talked about a lot of different things that can go with encouragement, whether it's comfort, presence. But real encouragement is telling people to continue to believe, to continue to follow Jesus. The next passage that I wanted to highlight on Barnabas is Acts 15:35. Here again, we have Paul and Barnabas staying in Antioch, and what are they doing? They're teaching and preaching with many others also the word of God. They're encouraging the Christians at Antioch. Paul also was such a benefit, so benefited by Barnabas, because everyone, when Paul began to preach in the churches, everyone remembered Paul the abuser, right? Paul the persecutor, the one who went after the Christians. And they're saying, now you're telling us he's one of the apostles. So they're very fearful. But the scripture tells us in Acts that Barnabas came along, and I'm speaking a little metaphorically here, my paraphrase, puts his arm around Paul of approval and says to all the brothers who had any doubt in Paul, who were thinking that he was there to harm them, look, brothers, this man has been saved. He's been called of Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Don't be afraid. He's a gift from God sent to you. So Barnabas, as an encouragement, is seeking to diffuse problems. Rather than pouring gas on the fire, he's diffusing the bomb. He is standing with God's people, approving, affirming, confirming, and he's encouraging the children of God to continue to follow Christ. When we consider Hebrews and the motivation behind Hebrews, this encouragement here is what? You know what it is. Keep on for Jesus, brothers. Keep on. You've become partakers of Christ. Verse 14. The least that you could do is encourage one another to keep following Jesus. Keep believing. Keep living for him. Keep walking. Keep gathering with the body. Keep striving for holiness. Keep killing sin. Keep telling others of the glorious grace of Christ Jesus, that he is the greatest man who ever lived, and the greatest of all, and that they too need to follow him like you. Well, this idea of encouragement really does just permeate the Bible. I mean, I haven't highlighted it on every page of the Bible, but I suggest it's probably on every page of the Bible. You either see the word encouragement or you see it in action. One place that I love this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. you'll see how he tries to encourage others, and I suggest you do the same. He says, "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaimed the gospel of God. We proclaim to you the gospel of God." And then verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children." Wow. Now read verse 12. And you get an idea of what encouragement is. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He is encouraging to set aside sin, to truly follow Christ, to walk in a manner worthy of the God who has saved them. And we all need someone to be encouraging us. In one way, shape, or form. Sometimes encouragement is going to come in the way of a loving criticism. And it might be, as I hear from my chief encourager seated to my left here, "Honey, your attitude was sinful. Say, you were right. You were right." And men need other men in the church to do this as well. Call them up on the phone. "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. Can I share something with you in love?" Brother to brother. "Yeah. Your attitude the other night at prayer meeting or Sunday morning at church was terrible." "Oh, brother, you're right. Thank you for sharing that with me. Pray that I can walk in a way that is more holy, that I can talk in a way that honors and glorifies God even better." So part of this not only is speaking encouragement, but also receiving it. Remember? The energy givers and the energy takers. The energy takers don't ever receive encouragement. You grow weary. And it's difficult because they don't listen. They just want to complain and talk and listen. They don't listen. You're like, "Oh, please, God, open their hearts," so they listen and begin to hear his voice and begin to change. So no matter what the outcome may be, we must be about the business of encouraging others. Use your Bibles. It's the greatest way to encourage anybody. Speak truth that will build them up and comfort. Speak truth, if it's needed, that will bring conviction. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and following, that the Word of God is sufficient not only for salvation, but for correction, for rebuking, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped. So the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, right? Hebrews 4:12 is going to talk to us about that. But one edge, and this is my illustration here, one edge is used to cut away sin, and the other edge is used to build up and encourage. Sometimes cancers need to be cut out of the body, right? Taken away, and that allows the body to heal and grow. So think in terms of the Word of God in those ways. It isn't always love, 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 accept, accept, accept. No. Remember, we have hard hearts, including me, that we've got to fight against, and we need a community of folks to speak into our lives. So friends, when it comes to encouragement, I hope by now you've sort of picked up on the idea that the Bible doesn't call just pastors and elders to be doing this. The Bible's calling everyone who follows Jesus, every Christian, to be doing this in one way. You got to talk with each other. This is the beauty of having potlucks, sitting with one another, enjoying a meal together. And as you're talking with people, they'll give you a glimpse of their heart. And you begin to see how you can encourage them to obey Jesus in the truth. How you can encourage holiness. How you can encourage them to seek the Lord in his word morning and night. How you can encourage them to pray and to be praying to the Lord really all the time with adoration, thanksgiving, confession, and any needs. Now within the church, we have some things that are in place to help you learn how to encourage others. IBCD is one of those wonderful tools. The Ministry of Biblical Counseling is very much a ministry of encouragement. Furthermore, there is the gift of encouragement. Some people are given the gift of encouragement by the Holy Spirit at the moment of their salvation. And that may be you. And maybe you're a person who loves to encourage others. You very well may have the gift of encouragement. Don't ignore that. Follow that. That's the Lord calling you to do His work. If you're interested in becoming a biblical counselor, I've got great news for you. We have the program here. We're set up. We've gone through one level already. We've completed level one. I'd love for you to join in with us and to train to become more in tune with encouraging others. Now, training in biblical counseling, about 95% of it is learning your Bible and learning what the Bible says about the heart and learning how to speak those truths into the heart. Summary. Encouragement is hearing the Word of God. Not hearing from a pastor or some guru in counseling who's got some sort of a doctorate. No. Encouragement, counseling, is hearing the Word of God yourself and obeying Him from that. Further, I would say too, I would love to create something new within our body to promote togetherness. I've tried for a while. I've been praying that Sunday morning would be really great between Sunday school and church. We've got time there to gather together, encourage each other. I see that happening a lot. There's probably about a dozen of us involved in doing that. I'll say again what I said two sermons ago. Make it a point to come 10, 15 minutes early before we start the service to encourage others, to just listen and be a part. We're family. Maybe God would lead us to establishing home groups. I don't know. If that's something that you're interested in, you're interested in helping set that up, let me know. We're already doing a home group at the church, kind of. Wednesday evenings is our prayer night. We pray out of obedience to Jesus, and we gather and we encourage each other. And it's a good time. It's happening there. And join us Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock in the fireplace room. We're there to pray with you. We're there to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Lastly, I would say if you really are in need of encouragement, friends, I'm so blessed to be a full-time pastor. I work about 60 hours a week, and I love it. I love pastoring. I love encouraging. You've got my cell number. Call me or text me. Though everybody should be about encouraging each other. If you need me, I'm here for you. Dan's here for you. You should have his cell number as well. We're here to walk with you as life is a struggle. Well, friends, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time we've had in your word. I pray that you would set it deeply within our hearts. Give us grace not only to hear what your word has said this morning, but grace to believe it and grace to obey it. Father, we thank you for the time in which we can gather. We pray that you'd bless every soul and encourage us to be living for King Jesus. This we pray in his name. Amen. And friends, today we're going to sing doxology.